Reading is from Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. And I'm sorry, I'm in Builders, Verity and Douglas, but it's just me you've got this morning. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's sit down and let's pray. We're just going to pray for ourselves as we prepare to hear God's word. We pray for Ian as he comes and shares God's word with us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for our brother Ian. We thank you for bringing him here safely this morning. We pray for his family. We know that there's sickness amongst his family. So we pray for healing for his sister in particular, for your presence to be close to her today. But we thank you for Ian, and we thank you that he will share God's word with your word with us today. We thank you too for his wider ministry. Thank you for his concern for church leaders and particularly those who are struggling with mental health issues. We pray your blessing on him in that ministry. But now, as we receive your word, would you speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, help us to apply what you're saying to us, to our everyday life. Bless Ian and fill all of us with your Holy Spirit, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, the servant king. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. And it's lovely to be here with you this morning. And as your rector has said, we've known each other for a while. And in all that time, he has never embarrassed me once. Father, forgive us. I felt I needed to show you this morning what a real clergyman looks like. So I've worn the collar. That's enough. Okay, I'm really sorry about that. It is lovely to be here with you once again and to see some familiar faces as well. My wife, Heather, would have loved to have been here today. She was due to come down with me, but our wee dog, Mario, whom Dave knows very well, has taken unwell, and so she felt it was more important to be with him than it was to be with me. And I get that one. I don't know if any of you are Doctor Who fans, or whether you were watching Doctor Who last night, The Amazing Adventures of the Doctor, who enters her TARDIS and presses the button on the time machine, and we don't know where they're going to end up from one episode to the next. So Advent is a time when we step into our biblical TARDIS, when we press the button on our time machine, and when we travel back, and when we travel forward, when we look back and when we look forward. And so I want, if you will, to step in to our TARDIS here at St. Thomas's, and our first stop is to take us to the very beginnings, to the Garden of Eden, where we meet Adam and Eve enjoying open fellowship and relationship with God. And then suddenly, through their act of disobedience, the whole of creation is sent into confusion and darkness. Their rebellion against God has not only affected them, but affected the very land that they were placed in. The beginnings of global warming has its roots in the Garden of Eden. However, there is hope, and Advent is about hope, for God promises to send someone who will rescue man from the rebellion, or the consequences of the rebellion as well, that happened when Adam and Eve turned their backs on God. In the beginning, God had made a promise in Genesis 3 that he would send a rescuer. Our second stop, we go from the Garden of Eden and to some 700 years before Christ was born, back to the prophet Isaiah that we heard read this morning, who promises that there will come a child, that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. A child will be born. And that is the Advent hope. A child will be born in the darkness. Our third stop, we travel ahead from Isaiah 700 years to the obscure village in Palestine where a young girl is giving birth to the Son of God. We go to Bethlehem more than 2,000 years ago. And in our spiritual TARDIS, we're able to see there the Christ child who is going to be the hope and fears of all the years. But our adventure in our TARDIS does not stop there. We come to hear our fourth stop, St. Thomas's, where Christ lives among us. But also there is a fifth stop when we go forward to the time when the scriptures promise that one day this Christ child, who was born, lived, and died and was raised again, will one day come back in power and great glory. That is our future hope, that one day a new heaven and a new earth will be created. But notice, whenever and wherever our TARDIS lands, it lands in a time of great darkness. The Garden of Eden, a great darkness happened when Adam and Eve were cast out into the wilderness. The darkness of Isaiah that promises the Christ child. The darkness of Bethlehem, where this child is born at a time when there is a crazy ruler who has decided to kill all the firstborn babies, baby boys up to the age of two, because he fears what God is about to do. And here in 2021, aren't we also living in a time of darkness? Don't we also need that great hope? Because we know that these days are days of darkness, especially with the announcement of the latest COVID variant, Omicron, sending people into more fear and anxiety about the future. Yesterday, I was visiting my sister Betty in Glasgow. And during that visit, her next-door neighbour visited. She told me that her husband had just died a few weeks ago. And she and her husband had brought these outdoor Christmas lights to put over Betty and Donald's window. She said, "It's so dark around here. We need some Christmas lights to bring some cheer." And then she said this to me, "I'm afraid of loneliness." The only future she could see was a lonely darkness for her. And she thought that by putting up these lights and switching them on and bringing some cheer, that somehow that might just help a wee bit the darkness that she felt inside herself and feared for the future. And who is to knock that? Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Advent is about hope, not the kind of wishful thinking or cross your fingers and hope something happens. The biblical hope is something different. Christian hope is this confidence that something is going to happen because God has promised that it will happen. Something. God is going to intervene. My old lecturer at Trinity College Bristol, Dr. Jim Packer, a wonderful teacher and theologian and a wonderful Anglican who stood for orthodoxy, he wrote these words: "The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity, hope of pardon, hope of peace, hope of glory, because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later, he might hang on a cross." And Paul puts it this way when he says this prayer: "May the God of hope..." I know you're all smiling behind those masks because you're so happy to know this. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Isn't that our testimony? Isn't that what the world actually needs today? That you are so filled with hope, there's a joy in you because of Christ who lives in you. Hope in Christ is more than just simply a belief in the baby who was born in a manger. The book of Hebrews says hope is an anchor for the soul. An anchor for the soul. It is something deep within us, something that secures you through all the storms of life. Well, this weekend, I decided to come here through one of the greatest storms to hit the northeast and down the east of the UK. And when I was traveling down from Aberdeen, the force of the wind and the gales made driving very difficult, and more so overtaking, especially big lorries. The car was so unstable. One of the most important parts of a ship is that which makes it stable. Oh, how I wished I had some anchor when I was overtaking those big lorries. But one of the most important parts of the ship that sails in the sea is the anchor. When the anchor is deployed, it steadies the ship and it does not let it drift one way or the other. The anchor weighs down into the seabed, giving that ship stability to weather whatever storm it faces. And isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know? As Christians, we have an anchor that works in much the same way. Let me read to you from the Amplified Version, Hebrews 6:19. This hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul, it cannot slip and it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells. Your anchor, my anchor, is hope, the hope that Jesus Christ brings. And this hope, this Jesus, will navigate you through the hard times in your life. And that hope will be the steadying force upon which you and I can rely. I know that you, like me, have often faced difficult times, shaky times, storms in our life. We have a hope. We have a hope. In ancient time, the anchor was viewed as a symbol that represented safety. Christians adopted the anchor as a symbol of hope. And the anchor was chosen because it holds a ship in place, representing strength and security. That is actually what Jesus brings to you and to me. Earlier on at the beginning of the service, we lit the Advent calendar on our Advent wreath. It's called the candle of prophecy or the candle of hope because it is the expectant intervention of God that the prophet declares in Isaiah chapter 9. When it looks forward not only to the birth of Jesus, but to his coming again in great power and glory. Because Isaiah was looking for the coming of the Messiah, God's King, to bring about, to set up his kingdom. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Every aspect of that is your hope. And whatever you face, whatever I face in this life, isn't it good to know that we have an anchor? We have an anchor. And his name is Jesus. Why is hope so important for us? Because it helps us during every significant trial in our lives. It helps us in our times of darkness and distress. When I retired almost 2 years ago, come next January, one of the things I decided to do was to create a website for Christian leaders who were struggling with their mental health. Because for all my ministry, I suffered from poor mental health. Because I was a rector, because I was a minister, you don't actually go around telling people that you suffer from poor mental health, because not everybody in the church really understands, because they think that their rector or their minister, they should be sailing through life with no problems or stresses. And poor mental health, oh, come on. You've got Jesus. Where is the joy of the Lord is your strength? And you get all of this. And yet, we, as church leaders, we suffer. We go through difficulties and we struggle, just like you struggle. And anyone struggles, and I was struggling with my poor mental health, and there were times when it was so dark that I could just only lay there and cry out to God, "Oh God, help." And I led a church that grew to become its largest church in the diocese through all that bad, poor mental health. But the one thing that kept me, even though I was in darkness, there was a security. There was a love that will not let me go. The love that will not let me go. And that is the hope that I cling to, because I was able to pray, "God, thank you that whatever I'm going through, you will not let me go, because you are my hope and you are my strength." Remember the time, I think you may have been looking at it earlier in your church calendar, in Matthew 8, when the disciples are out in the lake with Jesus in a boat, and there's a huge storm, great storm, to even scare mature fishermen. And the boat was going almost way over, being filled with water. Disciples feared and scared, finding Jesus in the back of the boat, sleeping. Now, what kind of Savior is able to sleep through a storm like that? But funnily enough, sometimes he will give you the peace in your storm. And they cried to Jesus, "Don't you care about us?" And with one command, Jesus, as he wakes up, stills the storm. Jesus is there with us. That is our hope, whatever the storm that you may face. These are dark days. We know that. You don't want to be reminded of that anymore. But these are days when hope seems to be absent. You know, I just listened to COP26 for some hope, and there wasn't much coming. We thought, "Oh, we're getting through the pandemic. There's hope." And then suddenly, Omicron. But we have this hope that is like an anchor to the soul. So may I ask you, is your heart filled with hope today? Do you have a confident expectation of your tomorrow? Or is your road filled with loss, with stress, with heaviness that wears heavy upon you? Are your prayers feeling as though they're hitting a brick wall and bouncing back and not getting through to the Lord? I want to tell you, this is a day of hope. This is why. There were two men walking along the road. They were strong followers of Jesus, but they had experienced a traumatic time. The bottom had fallen out of their world, and they were walking along together, but their heads were down. And they had invested their lives on this dream, on this hope. They had signed up with a group of other people to change the world. But it had all gone wrong. And on that day, they were walking, and their hope had been absolutely obliterated. So they were discouraged, and they were defeated. Ever felt like that? The worst thing about their disappointment was it was with God. And they were walking along, and another person joined them on the road. And their conversation tells us everything about how they felt. Because they said to this person, "We had hoped. Can you feel it? We had hoped that this person that we had put our trust in, that we had left everything to follow, who told us so many good things, who promised endless things. We'd put our hope in this man, and now our hope has gone because he suffered death in the city that we just came from. Their eyes were open. Of course, it was the two men on the road to Emmaus, and the man that they met was Jesus risen. Jesus walked on that road of hopelessness, and they turned back and skeltered back to Jerusalem to tell their friends, hope is still alive because Jesus is still alive. Hope has a name. So may I invite you now, as we come to close with a prayer, if you are somebody here who's struggling with your darkness, with some stress in your life, some difficulty, maybe nobody else knows about it, only you and God. And maybe you feel a bit hopeless, maybe even just with the mention of COVID, your heart sinks. I want to invite you to come to the anchor that is your hope, whose name is Jesus. And I want you, if you may, to bring whatever is on your heart today and say to Jesus, will you now fill me, as Paul said, would you fill me with that hope afresh again? Would you please bow your head? Join with me in a prayer. I'll say this prayer slowly. You may want to say it for yourself. Dear God, I have gone my own way and have put my hope in so many things that have disappointed me. Thank you that you sent Jesus to be my Savior, to be the anchor of my soul. Forgive me and lead me afresh today. Show me how to live in the confident expectation of how you can impact my life and my circumstances today. I place my hope in you right now and ask you to make yourself known to me in my life. Fill me, I pray, with hope. May the God of hope fill you and fill me with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.